हरे ओ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
सो पेज 9 शीर्ष उपनिषद मंत्रस 4-5 इज स्टेटेड ऑल्दो फिक्स्ड इन हिज अबोड द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड इज स्विफ्टर देन द माइंड एंड कैन ओवरकम ऑल अदर्स रनिंग The powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. The Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. Srila Prabhupada explains the inconceivable nature of the Lord and his potencies in the purport to Mantra 5. Here is a description of some of the Supreme Lord's transcendental activities executed by his inconceivable potencies. Because the Lord does things through his potencies. So they're different, but they're not different. Because he does something, but he does it through them. You know what I'm just saying? It's like we do things with our hand, but at the same time we're different than our hand. But we're non-different from the hand. So that's the whole idea. Is that all these contradictions aren't a problem. Because means being everything, for him there's no contradiction, right? Your hand is very different from the ears, you know, but it's not that it's a contradiction. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that for the Lord they're not contradictions. For us they may seem to be, because we're using our material intelligence, so we have a particular method of logic that we're trying to use. Right.
But also it becomes difficult because it's easy for us because there's so much that is not us, and there's nothing that's not the Lord.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, the Lord does everything through his potency. At the same time, what is the Lord doing as himself?
Well, that means you're making a difference between him and his potencies, because his potencies are himself.
But I mean, then he's just not my own.
Yeah, then he's existing. He's existence. But the point is being interactive, then that means that's with his potencies. So he's interactive through his potencies with his potencies. You see, the point is that it says by intelligence one will not be able to understand. That means one's applying the intelligence. That's the medium that's being used. That means study means use of intelligence. But the point is without devotion, without faith, it will not be understood. Right? Because you can apply intelligence to something and not understand it. So the point is one can't understand because he gives you the ability to understand. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But I'd say in the realm of Raj.
The realm of?
Braja, you know, when Krishna is, you know, directly manifest. You know, we have his potencies, means the Dham, etc. Is it like he's personally interacting, or that's also...
He's personally interacting, but he's using his energies to interact. See, this is the point, is that he's God. See, we're trying to say, well, there's this and there's that. And there's this distinction between, there's no connection between them. Then we can say it's two, like that. But there is no such thing as that. That's an illusion to think such a situation exists. We create it on our little pieces of paper with our little squares and our little arrows and our little graphs and all that. But that's just our creation of it, because you come back and that's, you know, clear as it is, completely separate. But you come back after a few years and there's something in between. You know, because they just see that, no, but this interacts with that and this, so there's also these things. And then it just keeps going. So it's an illusion to think that there's just this and just that. So when you say, okay, you as a person, when you do something, what do you do, how do you do it as a person? Not using your facilities, you know, your body, your energy of the body, your senses. How do you do? So that's the point. What's the meaning of, you know, what is Krishna when he's that, not his potencies?
So his body is also considered his potencies.
It's manifest by the internal potency. Because otherwise, how should it be manifest? If he's standing here, how big will he be? How big? Yeah, now what if he's in Brahmaloka? Should he be this big? So therefore, through his potencies, he manifests. So him and his potencies are non-different. But at the same time, he's different. That's why he's God. So us trying to understand that through intelligence won't happen. You understand? That's the point, is that we're thinking we're very smart, so I can analyze this and work it out. No. Analyzation means you're going back and trying to connect things together. But it's not that intelligence is what will actually do the work, because that means the intelligence has to produce the result. But it's not. Krishna's outside of intelligence, so that means that intelligence can't produce it. That makes sense?
It seems like in the West, analyzation is considered something about taking things apart.
Yeah, but it has to go both, because intelligence takes things apart and puts them together. You have to be able to do both. So that means, since intelligence can do both, they can exist simultaneously. But we always take it there's this and there's that, because of the duality. There is this and that, and then simultaneously this and that are the same.
And the reverse of that, they're just trying to see that everything is just one.
Yeah, just some energy, but they don't know where. Yes, it is just some energy, but the point is where did that just some energy come from? Because energy means there's an energetic, right? It means they're a scientist. You go out and say, you know, okay, here's something, so make it run. No, but you have to have current. No. You know, why some wires are here, everything's here. Point is energy is only manifest simultaneously when energetic is there. As soon as energetic stops manifesting energy, the energy doesn't exist, but the energetic does. So that's the thing. That's why Krishna is there before the creation. He's there during and he's there after. Because he's there and then he manifests the creation and then it's unmanifest. Because the energy is dependent on energetic. So they're non-different. But when the, so this would ask, may give a little bit of a understanding of your question. What is the generator doing when it's not generating electricity? But is it existing?
Yeah.
So sure. But the point is it's all everything's potential. I mean, it's there, but it's not manifest. So with Krishna, it's not that it doesn't exist. It's just not existing. It's not manifest. That's all. So the point is...
It's always drawn out by the...
Yes, but see, the thing is because this is before us, all we have to know is he's there before us. So try to analyze what's before us. How will we analyze it? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the fish trying to analyze the feeling of the blowing of the wind on your face or in your hair. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's any hairy fish, right? No, no fish. Okay. Just to make sure I didn't say something. Well, there is this one fish.
He likes to poke his head out, you know.
Right, it's convertible.
Yeah. That really gets the wind in his hair like that. Or maybe that's it. He has a bubble around his face, but the hair sticks out the top, right? You know? Does that make sense? So in other words, we can get an idea, but to try to get in and get into that, because that's not the point being made. The point is all these things, he's swifter than the mind, can overcome all of this running, powerful demigods approach him, although in one place he controls those supply, air and rain, right? Because air moves, rain moves. So how he sits in one place and he controls all the air and rain? You'd have to move around to do that. You know? He surpasses all in excellence. The Supreme Lord walks, he does not walk. He's far away, he's very near, he's within. So the whole thing is in relationship to something. Because that's all we can understand. Because we're dependent. That means for us, there's always two. For Krishna, see, the beta is how we see it. Abeta is how he sees it. You understand? Like the Father sees it's him and the Son. It's all one. You know, because he's there and the Son will come, take over the business, he'll inherit everything, he'll take on his plans and ideals. And the Son sees, you know, his Father's one person, he's another, and he has his own plans. You understand? So the Jiva always sees two. That's why Madhya could say two, right, you know? Because that's how he perceives. Even when we're saying purified oneness, special oneness, it's still meaning two as one. That we're talking about the mood. You know what I'm saying? So there's always, when you have energy, there's always energy and energetic. But energetic can stand on its own. And the energy is non-different from the energetic, but different. The electricity is different from the generator, at the same time, non-different. So these are, you accept that, then you can work with applying it in relationships. Try to work beyond that, because it's just seeming a new area that we can apply the intelligence to. It won't give any fruit. You know? Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of not questioning, it's a matter of what can we actually question. You know what I'm saying? If we're actually scientific, then we understand what is the equipment we have, what it can do. Right? If you have a Geiger counter, you know, you don't, you know, check and see, you don't take it down to the humidity or something. You know, then you would say this is not scientific. Right? Scientific Geiger counter, you know, does radiation. You know, the barometer does humidity. Right, so the same time as what's being pointed out is your intelligence can't understand these things. But we insist, and then we'll say, that's scientific. No, that's childish. The child, it insists that he's going to do stuff with something that won't work. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that God's beyond. He can't be understood. He reveals himself, but he has a method through which he will reveal himself. So if we follow that, that means with the devotion and that. So it has to be seen as that there's a point being made. That point is to get at a principle. Illuminating principle. It means a point is made. It has an explanation or expansion. This is logic. Right? Then from that expanded definition, then one gives examples. Right? But all the examples are only for the purpose of understanding the thesis, the point. So, but what happens is because explaining naturally creates a doubt. But in examples, it's not the example that's, the only importance of the example is its ability to illuminate the principle, right? Or the thesis. But when we take the example and start analyzing the example, its only purpose is to illuminate. It's not that it is the same thing. That's why it's an example. Something that we are familiar with, we use to become, understand something that we're not familiar with. That's actually logic. But to you know, it's just like the thermometer isn't heat. The barometer is not humidity. But, you know, if we try to see, well, the humidity of this and the humidity of the barometer, no, it won't work. So the example will help illuminate, but it isn't the thing. You know, example is given that you don't know what the moon is. So when the moon is up, then someone takes you outside and shows you something you are familiar with. We know what a tree is. So they say, see that tree? Then you see the tree. Okay. It says, go up to the top of the tree. You know, and they see, okay, the top of the tree, because they know that. Then out on the left, there's a branch. You know, then they see that. Then see, above that, there's like this white circle. He says, yes, that's the moon. So that's what an analogy and an example is for. But now if we go back and try to analyze the tree and try to show, well, how does that connect to the moon? And then it won't work. It won't happen. So that's what happens, is we get distracted by those things to try to analyze, so we miss the point. Maybe discussing a tree is another discussion, but it's not actually the discussion that's in topic. Does that make sense? So therefore, we can't understand God. He's beyond he's beyond the equipments we have, because our equipments are only energy. He's energetic, right? Through electricity, if we go in and take the electricity and connect it up to the machineries and do all kinds of things, will we be able to tell what the generator looks like? You know, it's painted, you know, it's a, you know, kind of like a silver color, you know, but it's kind of like that kind of slightly beaten one, you know, like that. Like it's anodized, but it's not, because it's actually paint, and then there's a little tag, you know, a stainless steel tag on there, and it's riveted on with two rivets. It's kind of oval and all that, and all these other things. And it's got, you know, at the end, it's got holes in it, you know, slots for things. There's thing inside spinning, and the magnet. You can tell all that from analyzing the. So all we have to analyze is energy. So how will we understand the energetic? So it's only when the Lord, because He's non-different, when He reveals Himself, then we can understand, otherwise not. And that's only through devotion.
That's why modern science has such a problem to see everything as energy, and when it comes to the Big Bang, where's the energeticness just that?
Yeah, no, they don't know. So in that, we have to take what is there, analyze that, and then try to apply. You know what I'm saying? It means we get a point, then some discussion is there, then if we have some other area that we're confused to apply it, try to find, well, where's that principle? If we can't find it, then we inquire. But if we can, it's not that we just inquire. You know, like this morning, he was saying for him is that there's so many points that devotees will make why not to follow the Vedas. But we gave a method how to approach it. Is what's the principle of their point that they can't disagree with? Taking that, Then you find proper examples and ways to explain it to them. But then he says there's so many, so that means, but the point is he takes that and then applies it to those so many. Not that he keeps asking all of them. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That what he can't figure out, what he can't apply, that he asks. Otherwise, then we'll just go on and on and on, just us discussing details, and we'll never actually get to the point. Because this morning, the class had nothing to do with Varnashram. But that's all we're discussing, because the example that was given, what happened was we started analyzing the example. So that's what I'm saying, is we have to be very careful about that. If there's something that we don't see how it connects to the principle, that's all right. But when we take the example and start taking it sideways, it is the example and other things and connecting to other issues. You know what I'm saying? Applications. But the application was on the devotional element of connecting everything to the Lord, and because the creation is from the Lord, and the God's laws are the rules on how the creation works. Therefore, that's why Varnashram is a superior method to use in engaging everything in Krishna's service. Right? So if there's any, you know, then he asks a discussion, you know, because he practically is, means he's responsible for people who say those things to him. Right? So then he can say, okay, then he can, he'll apply, so it's a practical point. So you say it, and then it's, but it's still staying on the principle. The other ones tended to go sideways. They weren't moving forward. Do we see what happens? You know what I'm saying? Because we're analyzing the example. The discussion is not Varnashram. It was simply given as one way of understanding the laws. You know, before I would always call them and this and that, weren't doing that. Then that generally doesn't get much question because it doesn't mean anything. Because it's, so, it's beyond the cultural element. And it just gets this kind of like pleasant...
It's a safe example.
Pleasant haze, you know, not purple, but just this night, this haze that everyone sits there and nods, and you know, you can see something going on in the back, and they're trying to figure out, you know, something about it. So that's good. But as soon as we bring it down into practical, then immediately, then all the mind is then the acceptance and rejection of what we like, and that comes into play, and then that take grabs the ball and runs off with it, you know, like that. Does that make sense? You know. So that's what we have to be very careful with, is that, you know, we're playing soccer and then you get the ball and then you start to play football with it. You know, I mean the American football. Now they're both balls, right? And there's running. So we could say there's a connection. But actually it's two different games. And everybody else is wondering, what is he doing? He's holding the ball and running and pushing everybody over and... like that. Yeah, you know. And then some guy, other guy comes out with a cricket bat, you know, so it's a ball, you know, like that. So it's, you know, we lose the point. Does that make sense? So it happens now and again. Generally it only happens on certain things. The falling, the jiva, Varnashram,
is,
huh? Yeah, independence. Yeah, free will and independent karma. And then specifics of Varnashram, you know, the liberal or conservative viewpoints. But basically that's about it. Huh? That one I try to avoid. But yeah, sometimes sugar. Like that.
So we can't understand the Lord through our tiny brains. But when we're chanting, we do get some kind of understanding of,
yes,
the Lord,
because you're doing service and you're doing that with faith, so he's revealing. Mm-hmm. It's not that the intelligence still isn't the medium. Like we're sitting here, we're trying to use the intelligence. Right? But intelligence on its own won't work. It has to be intelligence combined with that faith and devotion. Then it works. So that's what I'm saying. It can be understood, but not by simply the analytical process. Though what we're using is analysis.
It's not by intelligence alone.
Yeah, that's the point, is that sometimes the questions get into it's only intelligence alone, because it's possibilities. It could be this, because, you know, one's intelligent and one thinks of more possibilities. But that still is not the proper application. It's trying, instead of taking it sideways on details, it's how does that detail connect to this principle, this detail? Then one, the broader the intelligence, then the more practical it'll be. Then you can connect 20 things. Someone else can only conceive of 5. So then it's better. But if it's only a speculation on 20 things, then the guy who is connecting 5 is actually doing better, because he's made it practical. So in here, though it's talking about he's very far, he's very, you know, but he's near, he can walk, but doesn't walk. The point is he's different. And the thing is, this energy is dependent on energetic. And energy is at its best when it's connected to the energetic. Right? You know, when the electricity is fully connected, it's at its most activity, its greatest manifestation. So if we connect to the Lord, that's where our greatest glory will be. Right? So he's something different. We connect to him. Then what we're looking for will be found. Right? Now the presentation of the Upanishad is intellectual. Right? It doesn't catch on emotions. But you can see and hear, even though it's giving all the examples that are very, you know, heady, but all of them are connected to relationships. None of them are ever given outside. All it is that the Lord and these great personalities, they are giving this information for someone who likes to intellectually look at things. But they don't leave the principle. It doesn't purely become, it's still personal. It's still a relationship with the Lord. Does this make sense? So this is that fine thing we're supposed to be able to cut the difference between. If we can do that, then we can actually utilize all the elements that our mind is very interested in. You know, that become important for us. Does that make sense? Because only when we can separate it, then we can use it. Like if you can't tell the difference, how do you tell the commonality? You know what I'm saying? So you won't be able to use it. Like if you can't tell the difference between colors, you can't see what's common. Right? Because the idea, you know what I'm saying, you're doing a color scheme. The point is you're using different colors, but there's a common element between them. Does that make sense? Like that. So that underlying thing, that's that we're supposed to be able to see those two. So our analyzation is to be able to practically apply it. But we can't practically apply it until we've been able to separate it. Right? Not at least on jnana yoga. Right? It doesn't matter. Even if we can understand it, then karma yoga will engage it. And we will progress. We will advance. And then karma yoga naturally generates the detachment, right? Because to analyze it, to separate it, needs detachment. At the same time as then to apply it, that has to be put together. Does that make sense? So one has to. Yes? No? Yeah, what I'm saying is that you talk up here and you get the blank looks and you bring it into, you know, the examples that are more, and then it catches issues. So try to get that in the middle. Enough to, like we saw, this week was better, but last week, the week before last, it was so pulled back from creating anything that would create an issue. That it just went by, no questions, hardly anything, and everything like that. And then I don't know what happened not this last piece, but the one before. And that was so, like, strong and heavy that it evokes such these strong things. And then this we tried to do a little bit more pleasant. So it's like, always, you know, where to. Does this make sense? Yes.
Can you say that intelligence without facing devotion? Just
material intelligence. Yeah. We would call that mental speculation.
Yes.
Like that. When the intelligent, yes. Can't hear. He was saying is if we use the intelligence, but not in connection with the philosophy and the devotion, then we would call that material intelligence. Yes. So that would be material, and that's what when Prabhupada says mental speculation, that's what he's talking about. But where the intelligence is being used in connection to Krishna, and we're thinking of different ways to apply it in different situations, same process, but we don't call it mental speculation, we call it contemplation. Right? It's the same process, just like cooking for Krishna and cooking for Maya, it's the same process. But because Krishna is the goal, then it's devotional, and if Krishna is not the goal, it's not.
Contemplation and philosophical speculation is the same.
Contemplate means the methodology is the same.
Yeah, I've heard Prabhupada use the term philosophical speculation.
Yeah, it means he'll occasionally... See, the thing is, because mental speculation is the process of the jnani.
Yeah.
And he's attached to it and very proud of it. So we'll use, to identify it, we'll use mental speculation. It means that it's using the intelligence, but based on the needs of the mind, right? Generally in an environment of detachment. But nowadays you could be an impersonalist or a Mayavadi and be totally attached. You know, they don't see the. Somehow they've come up to the achinta beta beta tattva thing simultaneously, you know, mentally speculated and totally attached, you know, so like that. So it's Vishwakarma Puja's over yesterday. Probably had to hire the thing and so they got a few more hours so they're gonna get their money's worth, right?
I don't understand.
I was thinking we should, you know, make some, you know, small little missile that's sound seeking, you know, shoot it off and it goes up in there and just blows up the speaker. Right? You know, that's it.
So when we try to understand by intelligence alone, that's just our propensity to control.
Yeah.
We want to control something which is out of our control ultimately.
Yes. Yeah. Because we think we, by controlling God, we'll be secure. But through intelligence, you can't control God. He's beyond.
It
means you might control something that you're more intelligent than through your intelligence. Get the control, therefore your security. But someone who's more intelligent than you, you can't do that. So the point is what's being pointed out here, don't even bother trying to control Krishna through your intelligence. He's unlimited and we're limited, so it's not going to happen. But even the jiva who's so small, because we don't like that, we're minute, we can't understand. No, but I can. No. But the thing is it's through devotion to the Lord, through love, you can control God. Right? Then one will be happy. Because if our point is through control, we'll be happy. Then controlling this world doesn't make us happy, right? Because we're not connected with the Lord. But if we're connected to the Lord, then we'll be happy. That's because you're controlling God through your devotion. Okay. So the point is that the same point is gained. The same point is gained.
It just seems counterintuitive for the materialists.
Yeah, no, it's just, because they don't have faith that there's something beyond. Oh, it's starting to move. This is the problem with, pucca buildings or brick buildings and, you know, anything that's not mud and bamboo and grass is it echoes. And so, basically speaking, they're very, very useless for
multi-classes.
Yeah. See, because in the Vedic thing is before. You don't see it in recent times, the kings. But in the Shastra it talks about when the kings, they had the palaces. So it's all stone. But up to the capital on the top of the pillar. You know the capital? Capital is that, the pillar goes up and at the top there's that fancy design. So up to there it was covered with cloth. The walls were covered with cloth. So they'd get the same effect, but it was stone, you know. So the difficulty is when you have these, it echoes. You know, they can be on the third floor, or we can be here and we can talk, and you can hear it up on the third. It's like it's insane. So, and then you add into it the guys over there who are also insane. So that's the difference between the situation being insane and there being some insanity. So when you combine the two, then it's really a problem.
In this studio, we can establish the supremacy of the Lord.
Yes, means
he is the element of the intelligence. The intelligence of Allah.
Yes, he's beyond. So in other words, he's beyond. That makes him the most powerful. Because it's knowledge makes power. Right? The more you know, the more power you have. Right? That's why you see in governments, of course, they'll go after somebody who has a big gun or a big sword. But generally, the first they go after is whoever's got the biggest brain. Right? You know, all your intellectuals. So they're, you know, your political prisoners and your intellectuals, they all go first. right? Because that's power, right? I think there's a Western saying that it's about the word.
Huh? Pen is mighty.
Yes, the pen is mighty in the sword. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is knowledge is the thing. So they're putting God's beyond, so he's the most powerful. One can't access, he knows everything, and you can't know him. So that makes him the most powerful. Because we're talking practical here. You know, it's not about, you know, who's got the bigger biceps or who can press how much, and, you know, stuff like that, you know, those kind of things. So then here it's that, because the idea is the scriptures are giving us something that we can use. You know? Because otherwise, one can speculate on unlimited things. You know, there's people who take and analyze, you know, one thing down to farther and farther and farther, but what can they do with it? Something comes off the side, but it's not what came off the side that they're able to use. You could say, no, but science has come up with so many practical things. But those practical things generally weren't invented by the intellectual. It came as a side to his experiment or trying to get something else. Then someone else with practical intelligence used it.
And usually it's by accident. So they're looking for something
different. Yeah,
something else.
Yeah, yeah. Much of the time it's accident. Yeah. I was told once, I think, at least one theory is that the origin of waffles. What, waffles? It's, you don't know waffles. You eat them. It's a kind of cake. You put the batter in the machine, now you put it in the machine, and when you take it out, it's got all these little, like, square holes in it. But they don't go all the way through. Yeah?
They wrap them into a cone and put ice cream in
it. Yeah, that's another thing, or you put it on your plate, put butter and all kinds of other insane things on top, or whatever it is. Does that make sense? Like that. That the origin of that was some lady of the house had made, you know, some kind of a soft cake. And the husband had come in with his chainmail on and unknowingly sat on it. So then when it cooled, they had a waffle. And so then they figured out it wasn't bad. You could put a lot more butter and stuff on it than otherwise. So it forwarded the cause of hedonism that even a pancake couldn't do. So quantum leap, yes. So and like that, huh?
Was that Belgium?
It may be. It was some. You know, somewhere there in feudal Europe. So the point being made is now we're establishing Krishna as tattva. I mean, he is tattva. He is what is to be known, right? So he is knowledge. You know, he is the knower of knowledge. He is the application of the knowledge. So this is what we're establishing now. But that's inherently means there's a relationship. There's energy, energetic, but that'll come up in the next verses. The next set of verses will show how all the energies come. So then these things will be discussed there. Then once that's there, then what's the relationship? Then it'll be rasa. Right? So first you have to establish him and the living entities. Then you have to establish the energy in that connection. Then what is the exchange in that connection? Yes.
Tattva means the situation.
Tattva basically means situation, but at the same time, it's the definition of things. It's the existence. So Krishna is existence. You know. Here, yeah, but here he's showing is that he's tattva, meaning that he is the knowledge that we're looking for. Yeah, for this reason, Supreme Reality is known as tattva and not as padartha. So when we discuss tattva, we can say, oh, but it's also something else, but Krishna is everything. So when you're discussing what is the definition of things, you know, then that's tattva. But when you're discussing how it's perceived and what it can do, that's padartha. Right? So you have tattva and padartha. That's on page 6.
Defines it as a supreme truth.
So yes.
Which cannot be defined.
Yes, supreme truth who cannot be defined. Yes, so when you're able to, when you're giving the definitions, you're giving the definitions of Padartha. Right? Because he says Pada is the how you say, what is the meaning, and then the object that manifests that meaning, that's the Artha, that's the, so the combination is Padartha. So he is what's beyond that. But because he is everything, therefore, Tatvam, you're discussing, you know, whatever it is, him and his creation. But specifically here is then, he's what's beyond.
Rasa is a relationship between Tatva and Prarabdha.
Tatva and Prarabdha. Rasa. Rasa, that comes, that's the third point that'll be made later. So we see in the beginning here is that, is it in this one? Yeah. On page 3, then it defines the Lord. So it gives the Vedas as how we'll understand. Then Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is what we're discussing now. Then the second point is, then the third, Krishna is omnipotent, means all energies are coming from him. And then the fourth is he is the fountainhead of all relationships and love. Why I say the third one, it means the third one within describing Godhead. Like that. Because we're taking, one is praman, or the evidence. And then there's 9 pramayas. Right? So of the 9 pramayas, the first 3 describing Godhead. Right? The next 3 will describe the jiva. Like that. And then the next one will describe the relationship between the two. So that concludes sambandha. Right? So then the 8th one that will define abhideya, or devotional service, and the 9th one will define prema, love of God. Like that. So what I mean, but in the 10, then that's number 4. But in when you're discussing Godhead, it's the 3rd of 3. Does that make sense? Just so we don't get our numbers crossed here.
Tattva means a truth can only be passed down by Parampara.
Yes.
Like, because let's say like Guru Tattva, or, you know, this word is used.
Yeah, but that Guru Tattva means what we're getting from the scriptures. That's defined from the scriptures. So that's coming down through Parampara. It's given by the Lord himself.
So when something has the word Tattva, it always means an aspect of the Lord we're trying to...
Yeah, because it's in connection with the Lord. Because that's how we'll see. Because if it's not connection with the Lord, it's not actually your understanding Tattva.
So it's, saying,
so it's not like you have, you know, weather Tattva.
Waffle Tattva.
Yeah, waffle Tattva, an important Tattva.
Like Jiva Tattva.
Yeah, like that.
Shiva Tattva.
Yeah, like that. So it's... But Krishna's Tattva. So it's Krishna's, you know, expansion is Jiva's or Shiva, or is the material energy, or is internal potency, or the Dham. So it's still, you know, it's being seen in connection to him, and therefore it's got the...
And when we call the associate the Pancha Tattva, does that mean these are the 5 main Tattvas to be understood?
That's your full philosophy. You have the original Godhead, then you have his first expansion, which is non-different, but is in the mood of servant. And then you have the second expansion is the Purusha avatars, which have a different mood. The mood is different. There's controller, creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Right? But that element of servant is also there. Like that. But those are the 3, you could say, major divisions of mood of Godhead. Right? Then you have his energy, his Srup Shakti, which will be the original and its reflection. Right? And then the Jivas. So you don't have to have a separate material world. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all included in the Sarup Shakti. Like that. So that's why I will deal with Panchatattva, others don't, because you only find that in well, that's the Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, so that's the guru. So yes, you could say like that, but that's how you'll be able to approach and understand and serve those five. You know, just like you have the Dasamul, but it's Pramana and Prameya. So the Prameyas are what is to be known, but it's only known through Shastra. Does that make sense? Like that. So you'll always get, that's the thing, is to get these very clear, it's just like this. Now when you're looking at it for a particular purpose, then you'll get that. But as soon as that purpose is another purpose, that same example may change. You know, the numbers change. Just like when we're dealing with, means when we're dealing with Sambandhavida and Prayojana, we're dealing with three. Right? But when we're talking about applying that in relationships, then we talk four. But it's still in the categories of three. Dasamul then is understanding all the variety of aspects that you're dealing with in applying in Sambandhavida and Prayojana. So you have ten. But it's still only three. You know what I'm saying? We say masculine and feminine. Then it seems like two. But we're still only describing the three. Because the point is you have the masculine, Sambandha, you have the Prayojana, the feminine. But their interaction is Abhideya. So just that they exist, great. But if they don't interact, what's the meaning? You know, so that's inherent. And you know what I'm saying? So it's still always the same, but it changes. So one gets confused. Well, there's so many numbers. Just like you have the 24 elements. But like in Brahma Samhita, it only defines nine. Right? Because it has earth, water, fire, air. You know, it means so it's eight elements and then the mind.
The Krishna makes that point other than Kanto. He describes sometimes 24, sometimes 16, sometimes 7.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Because when you say mind, mind means there'll be senses. Right? And so then automatically there all your ten senses manifest. And when the senses are manifest, or when the eight elements, the five Mahabhutas, then you're going to have sight, sound, taste, touch, your tanmatras. So right there then you already have everything. Does that make sense? You know? And they'd manifest through the modes, you know. So then it's already done. So the mind is the mode of goodness, you know, the elements are the mode of ignorance. But their interaction is done through passion, the senses. You know what I'm saying? So understands, and they can say nine and it's understood. Does that make sense? Or sometimes it's defined as 16. You know, the ten senses and the tanmatras. But if tanmatras are there, they had to come from earth, water, fire, air, ether. There's going to be work through that, so they're automatically there. Does that make sense? So it's depending upon the perspective, means you get a very clear delineation for that particular perspective. If you adjust the perspective, they'll use a different one. So the trick is knowing which ones can be used for what. So you see in this situation, you can use that. Like you'll see sometimes someone will be describing using one thing and someone else will see the connection. And then they'll try to apply a different formula onto it. Which in one sense you can do indirectly, but they're very inspired because they saw the connection that this is the way to look at it. But it's not. And so they'll go about it and then artificially they'll make this into that and that. And if you just keep going long enough, since everything's Krishna, you can get everything back to them eventually. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so you have your grandfather's, you know, gold pocket watch, you know, like that. And so, you know, that then Krishna says, time I am. And he's the grandfather, you know, the Pita Maha. And so this watch is actually God. And so, you know, like this, you can anything you can do like this. But the point is you have to know what's supposed to be applied where. That's why there's tradition. That's why we see it uses it in a certain way, so we stick to that.
This is how New Age works.
Yeah. It just takes things and connects anything to anything we can see, and then it becomes it's interesting to speculate, but it always leaves you, the thing about New Age is it always leaves some mystique, and so there's always that element of underlying fear or insecurity. That's why you always got to keep chaining this and that. If somebody just did one thing and that's all they did and didn't worry about anything else, it wouldn't be a proper New Age.
They always need like a new shaman or a new yoga teacher, a new line of...
Yeah.
I knew when the lady I was working with, she was very proud of her and her friend. They did all the workshop. You know, they were looking like, oh, there's a new one. So they just...
They do all the workshops. And if you're not willing to do a workshop, then you're not actually a New Age person. It's just like, we can go there and do that, we'll be part of the scene, but as soon as we say, well, we're not interested in this, you know, then we're a religion, you know, or something else, you know, it's like that, you know, it's like, because it's always leaves the you know, keep going, and you know, like that.
Chasing the horizon.
Yeah, because the speculation is the taste, they're intelligent. Like, you don't find someone who's not, you know, intellectually active generally being New Age. They'll just be practical, you know, because they have to get certain things done, and they have a certain amount of intelligence, and they'll do that.
Well, sometimes it's some sort of an intellectualism of mind, no matter the failure.
Yeah, yeah. That's the point, is that it's not fixed. But see, Siddhanta means it's fixed. That's why most people don't appreciate Siddhanta. Even sometimes devotees don't like it. Because it's Siddhanta, it's the way it is.
It has consequences.
It has consequences. Because then you have to surrender. You know, you have to be subservient. You have to be humble. You know, all these things. It's kind of like...
So different contexts of analysis by tradition will call for a certain model of...
Yes, a certain model of tattva. You know, in other words, it's all Krishna. There's only one topic, and that's Krishna. But which aspect of Krishna you're studying, therefore you'll use a particular model to express it. Right? But otherwise, you have Krishna, and then you have this Sat Chit Ananda. You know what I'm saying? You know, Sat is his existence, he's you know, like that. Chit is, you know, his energies and all that, how everything interacts. And Ananda is, he's the Lord of Rasa. So that's all there is. There isn't anything else. But you break that down, then within that, then significant, at least for us here, and that is then the jivas. You know, and then their conditioning. What is a jiva? And the condition, liberated. And then how that relationship works with his energy. So it's still just discussing those three. But it's a part of it, you know. So we're part of the energies, and then, you know, we're part of the relationship. You know, but we're not the absolute truth. So we kind of got to leave that one. You know, hard to leave, but, you know, just stick on the other two. That, okay, he has unlimited energies, we're one of them, and he's the you know, Lord of Rasa, and so therefore we can be part of that if we serve. You know, but as soon as we try to, you know, take up the position of, you know, the first point, that's where it all falls apart. When we try to be tattva.
But if you really want to be
tattva. Okay. Srila Prabhupada explains the inconceivable nature of the Lord and his potencies in his purport to Mantra 5. Here's the description of some of the Supreme Lord's transcendental qualities, activities. Executed by his inconceivable potencies. Here's his transcendental activities. He didn't say the situation. He says his activities. You know? Because that thing means he's just... Because whenever you say he's the source, he's omnipresent, omnipotent, these are activities. So, action, that's the living entity is active. We're part of the chit potency. So it's... Nothing else is going to have much meaning. This is our perspective. The contradictions given here prove the inconceivable potencies of the Lord. He walks and he does not walk. Ordinarily, if someone can walk, it is illogical to say he cannot walk. But in reference to God, such a contradiction simply serves to indicate his inconceivable power. You know, like Prabhupada said, well, can, you know, if God's so great, you know, he can do anything, can he create a mountain he can't lift? God said, and Prabhupada said, yes, and then he'll lift it. like that. So it's like, with our limited fund of knowledge, we cannot accommodate such contradictions. That's the difficulty. And therefore, we conceive of the Lord in terms of our limited powers of understanding. For example, the impersonalist philosophers of the Mayavad school accept only the Lord's impersonal activities and reject his personal feature. But the members of the Bhagavad school, adopting the perfect conception of the Lord, accept his inconceivable potencies and thus understand that he is both personal and impersonal. The Bhagavatas know that without inconceivable potencies, there could be no meaning to the word Supreme Lord. Otherwise, if it's conceivable, how is it supreme? Because we can conceive of it. It means our intelligence can grasp it. So that means we bring it within the purview of our intelligence. So we're trying to make it bigger. But it's inconceivable. Therefore, he's supreme. You know, so I say, no, if I understand it, then he's there. No, it's not. That's the point. Is that you're trying to understand it so you can bring him into your purview. That means you're superior to God. But it doesn't work. The fact that there is nothing but God within and without. The fact is that there is nothing but God within and without. Everything is a manifestation of his different energies. And in this way, there is a oneness among his diverse energies. Right? Here's the one and difference. Right? Although there is oneness, however, the Lord in his personal form still enjoys unlimitedly all the pleasures enjoyed minutely by the tiny part and parcel living entities. Right? So he enjoys unlimitedly what we're enjoying. So it's not a matter of having to enjoy like the Lord, because one can't, one's too small. But the point is for us, it's enough. Right? You know, you have, you know, a kid and you give him 2 chapatis, they're happy. You give him, you know, the big adult, he wants 10. The point is, you know, the jiva is satisfied with the amount of ananda that is possible for him. So it's not that one has to, you know. So this isn't the impressive part. The impressive part is how the unlimited is actually enjoys interacting with the minute. That's what's special. You know, that's the Sutra 4. Satchidanando yanagamyo pakti vishayatvata. The Supreme Lord, having a Satchidananda form, is not perceivable to the cognitional faculty of the jivas, but only realized by a spiritual function called bhakti. Right? So just taking further the point that was made in the explanations now. Now he's establishing that. So you see, he'll explain something so that you're ready, then he makes the point. Right? And then he'll explain it, you know, very nicely.
Prepare.
So you see, the acharyas many times when they're writing the commentaries, they'll say, you know, explain it. You know, therefore, then the next thing is, and then there's the next verse. Then they'll explain that verse and then bring it up to the point of the Sunday for the next verse. And then they'll show that then there's the verse. So that's called Sangati, right? Where you make that connection, right? We were discussing before. I mean, next year we'll get into it more. The Sangati means your connection between one verse and the next, or the verse and the points in the verse, or the points in the verse and the chapter in the book, this book and another book, like that. You know, so that's Sangati, all these different kinds. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. Fun part of these are the summaries, right? It's so technical. It's a good thing he's a lawyer, right? Otherwise. Yeah, goes on for the next couple of pages, and this is the summary.
But who summarized this?
The person who put together the book. The royal writ writer wrote this writ. Yes. That eternal, transcendental, and blissful form of the Supreme Reality can be realized only by devotional service. Since the jiva is finite, he can never fully understand the infinite absoluteness of the Supreme Reality. So he says he cannot never fully understand. That means partially. You can get a concept, but what's filled in is through devotion. Because then it's practical, useful in the relationship. Otherwise, having the knowledge and not interacting. In other words, what's the use of controlling if you can't interact? Does that make sense? So intellectually trying to understand doesn't indicate any interaction. It's not a relationship, right? So therefore, only in relationship, only in devotion, can one understand. Then one has that grasp. So one has that control. Therefore, one has, you know, the experience.
That's also true for a new relationship.
That's the point. If God's everything, then what works on for him in the whole cosmic creation works in one little part of the creation. That's why we're saying is that we're discussing this really technical head cracking philosophy. And you can take this right into, you know, husband and wife, or parent and child, or leader and followers. That's why it becomes, you know, how do you figure this out?
So we understand more by interrelating, by interrelating.
Yeah, that's the point. Is that there? But my yes, purely intellectualizing won't do it. But the thing is the Lord in this creation being non-different. Therefore, there's no difference between any aspect of it and another. That's the non-difference. But at the same time, it's different. You know, applying this principle between, you know, Krishna and his devotee is different than, you know, one materialist and another, or the different varieties of materialists, you know, or a living entity and dead matter. But the formula is still the same, because it's all Krishna. If Krishna is one, that means technically there's one formula. But he's different, so that means there's unlimited ways to manifest that formula in application to his creation.
Right? I've experienced that someone who uses their intelligence to understand some, by being that state of not establishing relationship, it ends up drifting them away because they don't get into something. So just...
Yes. That's called, it's technically called, by the, what do you call it? Modern nomenclature in that, you know, it's called vast. No, V-A-S-T. It means that when you get into intellectualizing on these things, it just, so much that that technical thing, it just takes one away. One thinks it's broadening, but actually it's taking one away. So the point is intelligence is very important. Vedanta Sutras, you know, is intelligence. The Upanishad, what we're studying here, is intelligence. Krishna consciousness means, with enthusiasm, applying the intelligence. So intelligence is an integral part of the process, but it can never lose sight of or connection with devotion. Otherwise, it's limited. And that's the problem, is we're limited, and we're really small. You know what I'm saying? We have to, basically, because we're not God, so that's, you know, that's out of the question. So he's beyond, and he is the whole thing. But when we break it down, then basically you get two major divisions, the internal potency and the external. Right? I mean, one is the whole total of his energy, the Sukshakti, but there's three quarters and one quarter of unlimited, of eternity. And then within that, you have 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, and that's all the bigger we are. You know what I'm saying? So it becomes a problem. You know, so we're so easily overwhelmed. So that's why if we take shelter of the internal potency, then we won't be overwhelmed by the external. But the point is we have to function under one or the other. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you take the electricity. The point is there's some electricity is exactly connected to the generator. And then after that, there's all the other particles of electricity on down the line. So each one has to connect to the next. You know, they're all dependent. but they're all dependent on the one before them. Ultimately, they're dependent upon the one that connects to the machine, to the generator.
That's the button.
Yeah. And that one that connects, that's Radharani. You know what I'm saying? That's where the connection is. So. Since the jiva is finite, he can never fully understand the infinite absoluteness of the Supreme Reality. The devotees aspire only that along with the increase of the devotional service of the Lord, the transcendental bliss of God realization also increases. Okay. Right, so only along with devotional service is God consciousness increasing. They're not trying to do it by other methods, right? By the jnanis trying to do it through speculation. The ultimate reality is endowed with infinite potency, which can transform herself in infinite forms. This divine potency is known as Lakshmi, Durga, etc. That potency of the Lord is blissful and sportive, and therefore her nature must be known as bliss. The unification of the Lord and His potency is indivisible and eternal. This is indicated by the word Sat. Right? So even in His existence, they're always there. The unification, it's just a matter of whether you're manifesting that unification or not. So it's not when we say God is one and then He manifests, means then there wasn't. You can't separate it. It's just a matter of is manifest or not manifest. Many people indulge in the controversy of attributing either definite forms or formlessness to the ultimate reality. The Supreme Lord, however, is endowed with both the natures of form and formlessness. That's why we have no problem discussing the Parabrahman, because we know we're discussing the formless element, but at the same time, it is Krishna's qualities. So it's still non-different. So we can still see the person within the formless. Right? But that's only because of the devotional service. Without that, that would not be available.
Right? Can we say, understanding how the pana relates to tattva? How the pana is within the tattva?
Pana.
Pada.
The object.
The padartha is within tattva. Yeah, it's a discussion of the relationship between tattva and padartha. So because we're padartha, always will be, and we'll always are dealing with padartha. That's why then we'll see it through that.
So padartha are basically the different between the...
It's the manifestations. What is definable and what manifests that definition? That's padartha. Means pada is a meaning or some
word.
Yeah, and then artha is what manifests that. Yeah. Because artha means how to gain, how to.
Pada has quality of formlessness.
Basically. Because the point is even in something of this world, it has a principle in which it's functioning.
Also, right. Blueprint.
Yeah, but the point is that it's what manifests. It means it's the you have to manifest that. Otherwise, what's the use of it? You have something, but unless you can manifest it or interact with it, what's the meaning? So that's your padartha, right? So the padartha is in connection with the Lord, then it's very nice, right? But if it's not in connection with the Lord, then it's material. It becomes useless.
So basically, by our disconnecting the padartha in our consciousness, this is when we cease to access it, basically.
Yeah. When padartha is not connected to tattva, then that's when it's material. When it's connected to tattva, then it's spiritual. That's the natural position. the natural positions to see everything in connection. Like if you're dealing with electricity and the generator, the natural thing is that they're connected, they're together. So this concept that you're going to separate electricity from the generator and it'll function on its own, it doesn't. So the existence of the jiva here basically is nothing. It's been separated. But Krishna, because he's the generator, he arranges the creation and how the creation functions. But he stays hidden.
So he keeps a little bit of power there.
Yeah, but it's saying he keeps hidden, and then we think that we're doing it. You know, it's just like the child wants to do something that it's impossible for them to do. And the father has the facility. He may arrange something that may look like it's all happening. You know what I'm saying? It's just there, like the child wants to, you know, be a big martial artist and fight and do all this. And so, you know, the father arranges some... So he knows some friends, you know, like that, and they know something, so they come over all dressed up and all that, and when the kid's walking, he jumps out of the bushes, and then he does some things, and they all fall over, and this and that, and run off, and he goes home and says, "Hey, Daddy, I was attacked, I beat him up, I did this and that," and they go, "Oh, very nice," you know. It's all, you know, interaction for that, but the kid didn't do anything. He just desired. He just took part in it. So he got the experience. But actually, the arrangement was by the father.
So, my example is that illusion is not perceived, but Krishna is supplying, I think, that it is coming by its own.
Yeah, it's just coming on its own. There's this little spot in space, and everything's just coming out of it. You know?
Or that we are the energetic, because we have energy, so we can do
it. Yeah. On a personal level, yeah. Like that. So, that's the whole point. Of all discussions is just see it in connection to Krishna. That's it. That's all one has to do. So that's when it says that the gopis became perfect in one moment, means in that moment they just committed themselves to seeing everything in connection with Krishna. That there is no other superior way. So in one moment they become God conscious. That's all we're trying to do. All this piles of books is just to convince us to do that. You know, that's actually what it is. That we're energy and we're connected to the and see everything like that, and then it works nicely. You know, or the leaves on the tree. That's it.
In trying to do that, we find ourselves limited by the body, like we're tired, we can't breathe.
That's there because we identify with it. But if you don't, then you use it however you like. Because let's say, it means you're just dying, you're so tired, and you're just falling asleep and that, and you're trying to read the Bhagavatam, and you can't like that. You know, and you're really, really tired. And then, you know, just at that time, one of your, you know, good close friends suddenly walks in a good mood, and he's got something really good to eat that you really like to eat. Now, do you just fall asleep with your face right in the plate? Or, you know, suddenly, there you go, you know. I think in the Western terminology they call that second wind. You know. So it's just, you know, does that make sense? You know, so the point is if that enthusiasm is there and one sees connection, relationship and the value, it says you're not limited by it. You know what I'm saying?
That's why they forget to eat.
Yeah. Easy, you know, it's like that. So we're conditioned. So we think this is the way it is because this is the way we want it to be.
You know? So we start thinking of this as a spiritual body. Like these guys.
Yeah, it means you can use it spiritually. So it's because technically all there is Brahman. It's different from the spiritual manifestation and the material manifestation, but it is Brahman. And the point is it can function under the direction of the superior energy. Right? Because the Swarup Shakti is beyond. Swarup Shakti is both. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So there's not a problem of it working either way. So it's not that this is now Satchitananda. No, Satchitananda is the internal potency. Like that. The jiva is. This is, you know, asat, achit, and nirvana. Those who believe in any one of these aspects and deny the other are incomplete in their knowledge. The Supreme Lord does not have a material form, but His eternal spiritual form is always perceived by His unalloyed devotees. And even though they're dealing with material senses, they can always see the Lord. Though He is not material. So how would the material senses, or the material mind and intelligence, perceive the Lord who is not material? But the devotees can. But we're saying here in the application, means they can look at something and see Krishna. So looking at something, hearing something, tasting something, and they're able to see Krishna. But Krishna is not perceivable by these senses and the intelligence. So this is because of devotion. This is the point that is being made.
So that is the point Robin makes. The guy works at the office, but he has a picture of his family.
Yeah, so he's always making that connection. So he can see the Lord. It's not just an intellectual thing. They can actually see. That's what realization means. Right? There's understanding, and then there's realization. Realization means you can see. Right? Understanding means intellectually you can understand how it works and it's logical and makes sense. You know what to do like that. But realization means you can actually see it. You know, experience it, feel it.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Through devotion, that's what's available. The intelligence has its use up to the point of being fully absorbed in that.
Crystallizing
it into means bhakti would be the thing
like
that
we understand.
Means it's through bhakti, then it's revealed. Because the point is the Lord is still independent. So the Lord being independent, it's not that because you've done something, even if it's meant for Him, that generates the understanding or the realization. No, it's by His pleasure that we realize. Does that make sense?
There's a pastime with Lota Das Babaji.
Lota Das.
Yeah, Lota Das Babaji. He invited Krishna for lunch. Krishna, just a moment. And the actual deity of his is he's like this. Because Krishna took so long and never came and he was fasting.
Krishna says, I'll come. If I come, I'll come tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, for sure I'll come there for them. And then he's walking up. If not the day after that, anyways. If not, for sure the day after that. And the guy is still there in the temple on top of him, still waiting for Krishna.
His mouth open, waiting to receive Krishna to come.
Is that at the end of Govardhan?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Vinabhadra tells the story. He's still waiting. Krishna said he will come.
Yeah.
This revelation is according to principle. This is the same principle. This Santi revealing when flooding events, Samit are there. What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tasham, Vivanakam, Partham, and Tasham, Satadam.
There is a, yeah, but he's also making that, in that one, he's showing how he removes the ignorance that's getting in the way of that. But his point is he's personally taking care of it. You're doing the service, and you're personally doing service, so he's personally removing it. You know, because some will say, oh no, Krishna won't do that and this and that, but that's deism. No, he can't. Why can't he? No. That's the point, is he's beyond, but he's there. He's beyond the senses, but he can be perceived. So that's the whole thing. He's the supreme pure, but at the same time, he can remove the impurities. Right? He's God and he's beyond. He acts through his energies, but at the same time, he's doing this himself. Because when he says he does it himself, him personally doing something, he's still doing through his energies, but that's him personally doing something. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Thus, the conclusion is that the Lord is formless from a mundane perspective, but endowed with divine form when seen with the spiritual vision. Hence, both the forms of the Lord are accepted. Because the formless aspect will only be perceived in the material world. Right? In the spiritual world, no one's bothering with that one. Right? The Lord's standing right in front of you, why are you going to deal with the Brahman element? Yeah. So it just doesn't happen. So this formless is an actual perspective. He is, but it's only perceived from here. So that's why we say it's a perspective of the material world.
And even when he's not personally present, the devotees in the spiritual don't take, don't console themselves for this. They're still longing for
means they'll see an aspect that has a quality which itself is, you can say, is formless. There is a form there that they're getting it from. Like the tamal tree has a form. But it's the blackness that they're taking, it's the quality. But then from that, they immediately connect it to Krishna. Right? So they don't even bother with the Brahman and Paramatma. They just immediately take the quality and connect it to Bhagavan. So they're always absorbed. So that ends that paragraph. So we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.